Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Good Areas Live. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me is my mate and colleague, Varun Alvaconda, who you cannot find on social media, even if you try. And just before we begin this podcast, I'd like everyone to know that all of these podcasts on our Good Areas network, they are powered by our supporters on Patreon. You can become one of them by going to patreon.com/Good Areas Podcast, and then you can enjoy ad-free content, you can talk to us exclusively, and you can also give us recommendations for footmarks and quick picks and all of that fun stuff. All right then. The agenda for today is that Varun and I will be looking at Pakistan and India's T20I squads that have been announced for the Asia Cup, or in Pakistan's case, for the Tri-Series versus Afghanistan and the UAE and the Asia Cup. Varun, where would you like to go first, India or Pakistan?
No, might as well do India first, I guess.
Sure thing. Let's look at the squad then. First up, we've got like India, and they've announced, what, a 15-man squad, is it, Varun?
Mm-hmm. There's 15-man squad, and I believe there's 5 reserves.
Okay. So I remember you and I were having a conversation where you were like, if Pakistan has announced a 17-man squad, why has India just restricted themselves to 15? How do you feel about that?
Like, the only thing I can think is maybe it's practice for the actual T20 World Cup, and then whereas Pakistan might be a bit unsure about the last slot.
Yeah.
That's the only reason, I think. Because I think we've been saying it for a while, like, the actual squads do need to be bigger for World Cups. I think 15-man squads are a joke.
Yeah.
17 or 18, I think, is fair, you'd say, right?
Yeah, I'm team 18-man squads for all ICC and ACC events, I suppose. But it's not a stipulation in the Asia Cup, clearly, because Pakistan have selected a 17-man squad. I do think it kind of makes sense for India to narrow it down to 15, because if it is going to be 15-man squads for the T20 World Cup, then might as well prepare. And, I mean, India don't have a lot of questions to answer, I suppose, with respect to who those guys will be, who will feature in that tournament, whereas Pakistan probably have way more questions, or not, definitely have way more questions.
Yeah, I think that's fair, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. All right, then. Let's look at India's squad. If you could just bring it up. I know we've done some cool, fancy graphics like last time, which elevates the viewing experience for people. All right, so
let's see if I can zoom in.
You can do the honors then. Tell us the squad.
Yeah, so I think the squad is Abhishek Sharma, Shubman Gill, Tilak Varma, Suryakumar Yadav, Shivam Dubey, Hardik Pandya, Jitesh Sharma, Akshar Patel, Kuldeep Yadav, Varun Chakravarti, Jasprit Bumrah, Arshdeep Singh, Harshit Rana, Rinku Singh, and Sanju Samson.
Now, first glance, that's a very, very strong squad. Although the immediate question, I suppose, that came to my mind, or, you know, something that really confused me, Varun, was that Shubman Gill, despite being a solid anchor in T20s, and he's done well, right? I'm not saying that he's a poor T20 player. I personally would have picked Jaiswal ahead of him if I were to open the batting with Gill. I would have Jaiswal open the batting instead of him. And then if India are thinking of playing Gill at 3, I would have kind of lean towards Shreyas Iyer at 3, given the sort of IPL that he had. So that's the biggest concern for me, even though this is still, you know, an Asia Cup winning squad.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like, I don't, like, I didn't have Gill in my first 11. I didn't have Shreyas Iyer either. And I actually don't think I even had Jaiswal. So it's like, either way, I'm like, if any of them were going to be in the first 11, I wouldn't have been completely happy, because my logic is the team has been doing well, just reward them, pick them, and you give them a chance to flop at the international level. I completely get why they want like a quality player in the sense, not saying the rest of the guys aren't quality. By quality, what we mean is batters who can do well in T20 cricket, but have a good red ball background so they can handle tough pitches. That's just essentially what we mean by quality. So we knew that one of Gill or Jaiswal would come in just for that reason.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because they've named Shubman Gill as the vice captain as well. That's something that India loves to do. They are vice captain obsessed, and Jared loves to rant about this, but that kind of tells me that they want Gill to be a regular across all 3 formats, and they're giving him this opportunity. I just don't feel very comfortable, because I feel like whilst both of Gill and Jaiswal are S-tier talents, I would have Jaiswal ahead of him in T20s because he bats fairly quicker than him, right? So, and plus, like, are they planning to open with Gill and then, you know, have Sanju Samson lower down the order? Or are they intending to open with Samson and Abhishek and then have Gill at first drop? I just don't understand what the psyche is over here, or what the thought process is.
Yeah. So I think Samson has been asked, was batting at six in one of the leagues he was playing in. So maybe the team has asked him to reinvent himself as a number six batter. I think Joy Bhattacharya was tweeting about it. So if that's the thinking, then Abhishek Sharma and Shubman Gill probably open the batting when you have Tilak at three and then Sky at four.
Yeah.
And then so on and so forth, right?
But then
that's probably where my head's at.
I understand that. And I saw Joy's tweet as well. My counter argument to that would be that we know that Sanju Samson can be so good opening the batting, then why fiddle with his position at all? Don't play Sanju then, right? Just play Jitesh Sharma down the order and that takes care of that. So I just feel like it's quite unnecessary. And again, you're being a bit, you know, circumspect when you're pairing up Abhishek with Gill, because you could just go all guns blazing otherwise.
Yeah, I think that's a perfectly fair argument. I do think people are being too harsh on Gill at times with the selection. They're almost pretending as if Shubman Gill is like Kane Williamson in T20 cricket. I'm like, that's not true.
Yeah.
He had like a strike rate of 160 this IPL season. He's clearly, like, I'm going to get slagged off for this, but you can tell he's the evolution of the Virat Kohli archetype, right? That's the way the team sees it. That's the way all of us see it. Where it's like, this is almost like, you don't, if you want someone of that archetype, he's probably the best choice you have, right?
Yes, I mean, I think I'm more than comfortable with accepting that argument, because anchor batters now need to bat way quicker, right? Like, I think anchor batters are kind of dead, but let's suppose, you know, there's a surface in which you kind of need to apply yourselves and you can't just go out there and smash the ball from ball one. Even then, I don't think you can strike it under, I don't know, 140, 135 is the least I'm willing to go, right? Like, conditions dependent. So perhaps, you know, for those sort of surfaces, it does make to have Shubman Gill in there. But I don't know, man. I personally think that Jaiswal walks in ahead of him. Although I get what you're saying. Perhaps we are all being a bit too harsh on Shubman Gill. It's not the only conundrum over here, of course. I see that, you know, pairing up Bumrah with two different kinds of bowlers, seam bowlers, is what India are trying to do over here. I'm surprised to see Bumrah in the squad in the first place. I thought they'd rest him. But, you know, India are clearly taking the Asia Cup more seriously than I originally thought they would. So on one hand, you have Arshdeep Singh, who is a new ball specialist. And then Harshit Rana is the slow ball guy who is more handy towards the death. Now, the argument, at least in our WhatsApp group, was that why not have Prasidh Krishna as a middle overs and death overs enforcer ahead of Harshit Rana? But then Harshit is Gigi's boy. How do you feel about all of this?
Yeah, I think we all of us would have picked Prasidh just for his bowling. But I've been hearing things that they want to try maybe Harshit at eight in some of the games. And if that's the case, you can't have Prasidh Krishna at eight. You just can't bat.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, or like maybe they're going to alternate between Bumrah and Harshit between games. Like, that's probably what they're thinking as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of works, because I don't see India playing three frontline seamers. I think that it is absolutely imperative, especially in the UAE, for both of Kuldeep Yadav and Varun Chakravarti to start. And, you know, Arshdeep is the new ball bowler over here, whereas Bumrah, you maybe give him one or two overs in the power play and then use him, you know, primarily at the death. At least that's how I would look at it, right? And Hardik Pandya can bowl like the sixth over of the power play and then one over in the middle and two overs at the death. That's kind of how I see him. And he is absolutely crucial, right? Like, having Hardik really is a bit of a cheat code in this team. So that means that, you know, Harshit Rana only plays if Bumrah doesn't. At least for me, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, I think I can show this to you. So the last time India played a T20 lineup, so we swapped the names. So they had, I think, Abhishek Samson, that they like Sky, they had Shivan Dubey at five, Hardik at six, and I think they had Dhruv Jurel at seven, or Rinku Singh at seven, one of them with Buzz batting at seven, and Akshar was eight. They had Ravi Bishnoi, Varun Chakravarti, and Arshdeep Singh in the team. Right, I'm assuming we'll see a similar skeleton. That's one option A with what they can do. So let's say they make Sanju Samson. Sorry, what am I looking at? I did swap them. Cool. So let's say they make Sanju Samson bat at six or seven. In this team, right? If that's the case, this is potentially one of the lineups we can see. And then Arshdeep just doesn't play if they want to go in on all spin attack like they did in the UAE. But the argument against this would be you're wasting Akshar's batting at eight.
Yeah.
Right? His best utilities would be, let's say, five bashing spin.
Absolutely. No, so when I think of starting 11s, I am not particularly keen on having Shubman Gill at three at all, right? I want Tilak to come in at three, because delaying Sky's entry point from number four further down doesn't make sense to me at all, right?
Like, no, Sky, I don't think that's how they use Tilak. So The way they use them is you have a left-right opening partnership. If the left-hander goes out, Tilak walks in.
Gambhir ball.
If the righty goes out, Sky goes in. Yeah. I think that's why they wanted Tilak to remain at three, because otherwise you'd have Gill at three and Sky at four. Mm. And they also think they just rate Tilak, so it might be just one of those cases. Mm. And that's why I was initially against any of their top five being replaced, because they all did so well in T20 internationals. It would be unfair to drop any of them, right?
Yeah. So if, for instance, they had Jaiswal ahead of Gill, then they would have the double left-handed thing, which would kill Gautam Gambhir.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
So anyway, that's probably fair. Let's work with what we've got, right? We start with Abhishek Sharma and Shubman Gill. Then, as you said, depending on who goes out, you get one of Tilak Varma or Surya Kumar Yadav. Now, let's take a deep breath. All right? Collective deep breath. Are we sold, and this is coming from a big Shivam Dubey fan, are we sold on him starting?
I think he will start, but I'm not sold on him being in the squad.
Yeah, see, I feel like that is Akshar's spot, isn't it? And he's proven it.
That is Akshar's spot. Yeah, I completely agree. So,
move him up there. I want Akshar at five for now.
So, let's say the aggressive move would be Akshar at five, Hardik six. Mm-hmm. Sorry, let's say Sanju at six and Hardik at seven. Mm-hmm. Right? You have Kuldeep Yadav at eight.
Yeah.
Let's say, you're not going to put Varun Chakravarthy, right? Mm-hmm. Varun Chakravarthy. So, Bumrah at nine.
Uh-huh.
I already forgot who I'm doing. So, okay. VC at, let's say, 10. Sorry. Arsdeep at 10 and VC at 11, right?
Sure.
That would be the aggressive move.
Don't call him.
I completely
him,
understand what.
Don't call him VC. People might mistake him for Gill. Yeah. But yes, I like this team. The only thing I probably do differently over here is that you have Sanju Samson at 6. And I mean, for all I know, he can probably do a job over there. But I feel that Jitesh has proven.
No, I don't have him at 6. I think they will have him at 6 because what we've been hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And Jitesh is just a backup for him at 6.
Fair. But I think that Jitesh should be starting at perhaps 7. I would have Hardik at 6.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think I was assuming initially before I heard the whole Sanju Samson thing.
Mm.
And technically, that does make some semblance of sense because Sanju, in that case, would be a backup batter.
Yeah.
But then why is Rinku Singh in the team? Like,
true.
So I'm like, that's sort of confusing me at times, right? Does Rinku play then? I don't know. It's a bit muddled there.
I'll give you a permutation in which Rinku can play. Gill goes out.
Go for it.
Sanju opens ahead of Shubman Gill. And that way, you can play Rinku Singh at 6 or 7. Because you don't need a Jitesh.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. But the problem there is Rinku Singh has been in no form whatsoever.
Hmm. But then Shivam Dubey wasn't in form this IPL either.
Yes, exactly.
But then again, you know, IPL form, I always take it with an ounce of salt. Remember how terrible an IPL Hardik Pandya had before the T20 World Cup? And then Hardik was one of the heroes for India.
I think Hardik is different though, because people were saying to drop him. I'm like, who are you going to drop him for? Right? That's not the case with some of the other people in this team, right?
I mean, considering that India have a long tail, I mean, sure, you could say that Kuldeep is an improved batter, but having him at number 8 is a bit iffy. But then again, I think you need to play those four frontline bowlers. I don't want to gamble with more than 4 overs, for instance, right? And your gamble is also Hardik Pandya. It's not a big gamble at all.
Yeah. So the other thing I've heard is, so if they, let's say they do, instead, let's say you don't play Kuldeep and you have Harshit at 8, you play all this going on, all the seamers whatsoever, right?
Mm.
Then you have two proper spinners and then you have 4 seamers, right? That's the other thing we've heard. So, they could do anything with this team, right?
I think
let's say you still play Kuldeep and you don't have Arshdeep and you do Bumrah and Rana.
Hmm.
Then you're kind of doing an aggressive move by having Rana at 8 instead of, because in that case you're basically replacing Shivam Dubey and Abhishek Sharma's bowling with Harshit Rana's bowling in that, essentially, right?
And I'm assuming Akshar Patel is opening the bowling over here, right?
Who is opening the bowling? I don't know. I think Hardik will open the bowling.
No, I mean,
and Bumrah will open one.
In this particular lineup, because if Arshdeep plays, Arshdeep is probably bowling 3 in the power play. At least I would have him bowl 3 in the power play.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's fair.
I think Arshdeep has to start, see, because you've get, like, I know you don't...
I don't think he has to start.
I don't rate the left arm angle as much as perhaps I do, but it does add a bit more flavor into this bowling attack.
No, I rate it in T20 cricket. Hmm. I think it's overrated in Test cricket.
Ah, fair. But I think, like, he does provide you with a very specific skill set, Arshdeep. And, you know, when you've got Bumrah and Hardik, right, who are going to be your death bowlers as well, you don't really need Arshdeep at the death. Perhaps one over at most.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 3 at the start from Arshdeep in the power play makes complete sense to me. And this is this is still looking like a pretty strong team. Just swap Rinku out for Jitesh and Gil in for Samson, because that's probably the more realistic lineup. I saw Sky's interview where he was like, oh, when we started this journey, Shubman Gill was my vice-captain, and now he's my vice-captain again. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that means, but
it fine. Is a fact. Technically true. Yeah. It's a statement, so yeah. I think that is technically true.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll do this, because, again, the last time India played a T20 team was versus England. They had Shivan Dubey at 5 and Akshar Patel at 8. I assume they'll do that again, because these guys do like the batting depth.
Yeah.
But I think the counter-argument to that would be, these boys are, I think, less goal-based susceptible than, I think, let's say KL and Virata, right?
Yeah.
Because Abhishek Sharma, like, doesn't care who's come. Like, he could play with 10 number 11s and he's still by the same way, right?
Also,
he doesn't care.
Also, if you are going very, very batting heavy and you're saying, like, okay, apart from Hardik and Bumrah, everyone's going to be bowling spin. We've got Akshar, we've got Kuldeep, we've got Varun. In that scenario, Arshdeep goes out for a Rinku Singh. I mean, it could happen.
No, wait.
It's not beyond the realms of possibility.
I'm just trying to think of that lineup. So what was I saying initially? So the last time they would have played it, they had Dubey 5, they had Akshar 8. Let's say they still play Sanju over Jitesh, which I think seems likely at this point. And then you could have Bumrah and Arshdeep if you want two seamers in there. Let's say you want three spinners, then you'd probably replace an Arshdeep for a Kuldeep.
Yes.
Right? Probably. In that case, that's probably what we are expecting. I think one of those things will happen. They can do a lot of fun stuff. You can have a defensive, I guess not defensive. You could go for a defensive bowling lineup. You could go for a complete like overkill strike bowling lineup. Right?
Yeah.
Because that's the argument we were making, right? If you'd say Kuldeep Yadav, Bumrah, Arshdeep, and Varun Chakravarti are in the, let's say they're in the top 15 bowlers in T20 cricket right now, right? Maybe top 10. Why would you not play all of them?
Yeah. That's the argument, right? And I feel like if I was the coach and captain, that's what I would be leaning towards. But considering how Gautam Gambhir is fascinated by all-rounders and deep batting lineups, I think that this particular lineup that you have right now, the starting 11, it's possible. It's quite probable, in fact, because he would want batting till 8 in that scenario. And he'd be like, okay, Hardik, Jasprit, you guys are the only seamers. It's the UAE. We can work with it. But then again, what do we even know about the UAE conditions at this time of the year? Maybe there's dew. Maybe there isn't dew. Right? Maybe it's seamer-friendly. Maybe it's too slow that only spinners will really be effective. We don't know these things yet. And in fact, the tri-series that Pakistan, Afghanistan and the UAE will play will kind of be a precursor to this Asia Cup. And all of the teams will be watching closely with respect to conditions.
Yeah, scenes if all the seamers just take 10 wickets every game.
It happens, right? Like at the start of the year when the ILT20 is happening, that's the theme. It's the seamers who are taking all the wickets.
Yeah, definitely. I think what was it? Was one of the IPL season, there was incredible help for fast bowling at the start. And then as the pitches wore out, that's when we saw spin come in, right? So I think we have a super chat for you, by the way, from Andy.
Oh, Andy.
So he's saying, what is the Pakistan public's perception of the current Indian team? Is there an awe for the players as there was for Pakistan players here in the 90s?
I feel like when it comes to awe, Virat Kohli was very, very popular in Pakistan. He definitely, like, I feel like his superstardom is so massive that, you know, even in Pakistan, you have diehard Kohli fans. I used to go to press boxes all the time for 2 years straight, every single time Pakistan played any sort of cricket, plus the PSL. And I would see people in a Kohli jersey. So I think he definitely qualifies. And I also think that there are a lot of people in Pakistan who do, you know, recognize the genius of Jasprit Bumrah, right? So that's two people. And I'm a big Abhishek Sharma fan. My co-host Saad Nasir on Pro Sports is a big Abhishek Sharma fan. I feel like anyone who has remotely followed Abhishek Sharma's career is an Abhishek Sharma fan, because he's doing something different. He's going for the 12 ball 30s, and that's really exciting. Yeah, those three guys for now, I would say. I mean, awe is a strong word. You have to be like a bona fide great to have fans awestruck. I think Kohli falls in that category. Maybe not the rest so much. But I think everyone in Pakistan, at least everyone who takes their cricket seriously, is probably, you know, under the impression that in India have the strongest T20 squad in the world right now. And I think that's also a fair kind of notion.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Yeah. Anyway.
I love this T20 team, I think. Even with, let's say, Gillett opening instead of all the high intent boys, but still.
Yeah. Anyway, before we move on to Pakistan, Varun, you and I, let's quickly make our starting 11s, preferred starting 11s for India. I'll start. All right.
Hit me.
I'll go Abhishek Sharma and Shubman Gill. Sure. All right. Tilak Verma, Surya Kumar Yadav. Swap Shivam Dubey for Akshay Patel for me. So I'll have Akshay Patel at 5. I have Hardik Pandya at 6. I want Jitesh Sharma at 7 because I feel like, you know, he is better suited to a role batting lower down the order. And then at 8, I would have Kuldeep. At 9, I would have Jasprit Bumrah. At 10, I would have Arshdeep Singh. And at 11, I would have Varun Chakravarti. So the way I'm looking at this, Arshdeep Singh is bowling 3 overs in the power play. And then you might not even need a fourth over from him. Hardik Pandya is bowling 1 power play over. Jasprit Bumrah is bowling 1 to 2 power play overs. All right. Akshay Patel may or may not finish his quota. He might bowl 2 to 3 overs. I am for sure finishing the quota of Kuldeep and Varun Chakravarti through the middle. And then towards the death, I'll definitely bowl Bumrah out. And I'll see what combination of Hardik and Akshar I eventually use. And whether or not I give Arshdeep his final over. That's how I'm thinking about this.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think I largely agree with you. I think probably have the same 11 as you. I don't care enough about either of Sanjay Samson or Jitesh Sharma to pick one of them at 7. I don't think it would make much difference in the grand scheme of things.
Well, who do you think is the better keeper?
Who do you think is the better keeper? Can I pick neither?
All right, fair enough. Anyway, I think that the fact that Sanju Samson is not opening the batting in whatever competition he's playing right now is a very clear indication that he won't be opening the batting in the Asia Cup either. But you guys let us know your starting 11s for India as well in the comment section below. And also tell us which players would you have had in the squad and who would you have those players replace? Because I've been very vocal. I think that, you know, Gill shouldn't have been there. It should have been one of Iyer or Jaiswal. And then I also feel that these boys are onto something when they're saying that Prasad Krishna probably gets in ahead of Harshit Rana. Okay, so that is that. And before we move on to Pakistan, we will be taking a short break. Go nowhere because you're watching Good Areas Live with Varun and Bairam, and we will be kind of assessing Pakistan's 17-man squad and starting 11s, potential starting 11s after a short break. So yeah, we'll be back in like 30 seconds. Go nowhere. Stay tuned.
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today.
Welcome back to Good Areas Live. You guys are with Varun and Bairam. And prior to the break, we discussed India's 15-man squad and potential starting 11s. Now we shall move on to Pakistan's 17-man squad and then their potential starting 11. So Varun, do the honors. Tell me who we've got.
We got Sahibzada Farhan, Sayam Ayub, Fakhar Zaman, Salman Aga, Muhammad Haris, Hassan Nawaz, Muhammad Nawaz, Shaheen Shah Afridi, Harris Rauf, Salman Mirza, Abrar Ahmed, Fahim Ashraf, Hassan Ali, Muhammad Wasim, Kushdil Shah, Hussain Talat, Sufyan Mukim.
All right then. So I feel like there are a lot of really exciting players in there, and this is a new look Pakistan team. I personally, Varun, am more or less satisfied with this. The one guy I probably think really should have been there was Abbas Afridi. I'd probably have him ahead of Hassan Ali or Hussain Talat because I feel like Abbas Afridi didn't do much wrong to be axed from, you know, the squad in the first place. And you can really get a lot of utility with him through the middle overs and at the death. And he's a handy hitter of the ball, so he could slot in nicely at number 8 or something like that. Mike Hessen, though, is obsessed with deeper batting lineups, maybe even more than Gautam Gambhir, because Mike Hessen likes like a proper bat at number 9, right? Like that's kind of how he views T20 cricket, that I want lots of bowling options and then I want an exceedingly deep batting lineup. This is the post-Babar and Rizwan era, of course, for Pakistan in T20s. I just want to know, what are your general feelings about this team and the direction that they're headed in under Hessen and Salman Ali Aga?
Yeah, I think this batting lineup angers me less than what they've done like in the last year or so. I think there might have been the T20 batting lineup versus Australia that really made me like hurt me spiritually. Like, the hatred I felt watching that team bat. This is an improvement on that.
Yeah,
I'd say the bowling doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence. I will say that.
Yeah, no.
Weirdly enough, the
bowling has been a concern.
I'm more confident in the batting than I am in the bowling.
It's interesting, right? Because when Pakistan were doing well as a T20 outfit and they reached a semi-final in the World Cup and then they followed that up with a final They didn't win the title, but, you know, Pakistan were a really, really good team because I feel primarily they had a really, really good bowling attack. Strike bowlers, left, right and center, heaps of variety. And then, you know, when Babar and Rizwan would aim for 80 in the first 10 and go berserk, or Pakistan would go berserk in the last 10, that would work with that strike bowling force. The bowlers regress. Babar and Rizwan's methods become extremely outdated within a matter of years. And then Pakistan stick with that same approach and they pay for it. They lose to the USA. They crash out of the T20 World Cup in the preliminary round. They don't even make it to the Super 8s. And everyone's like, yeah, we kind of saw this coming. Fairly, that's basically where we were, right? Now, they've gone with a new look team, especially as far as the batting order is concerned. There is one big concern that I have, or no, it's not a concern per se, it's rather a question. And I feel like Mike Hessen needs to answer this question. We have seen Hessen's T20 team, Pakistan T20 team, open with one of Fakhar Saim and Saib Zada Farhan, or two of those guys, my bad. So one of them sits out. We've seen that. So either Fakhar and Saim will open, or Saib Zada and Saim will open, or Fakhar or Saib Zada will open, right? And then we've also seen Hessen play all three. What would you lean towards?
Do they have a number three?
I mean, Mohammad Haris is a decent number three if he has his entry point in the power play. So I would never send Haris out to bat if he's going to bat in the middle overs. It's either death or power play. That's how I look at him as a role player.
No, I think that's a fair. If you're picking with Haris, so like one of the other, it's bat in the top three. I don't think you're missing a lot. So I have no issue with them experimenting with those three. If you want to be harsh, you just pick two of them so there's clarity for you and for them as well.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, because I think if you open for your whole life, it's very difficult for you to switch out of it. And I feel like that happens with Fakhar at times if he's batting out of position. But if it's the case, you probably should bench them. But if they fail and they bench him, they'll be scrutinized for benching him.
Yeah. That's true.
That's the issue,
right? They cannot bench Mohammad Haris because he is the only frontline keeping option, right? You're not going to want to keep with Saib Zada Farhan because that is the specified, or that's who they have allotted the backup keeper role to. And I do not see that work at all. Like that is going to be a recipe for failure and an absolute catastrophic disaster, whatever you'd call it. Fakhar Zaman, very interesting one. I think he's slightly underachieved in his T20I career, although he has a really, really good T20 career. And thing with him is, despite the fact that we all know that once Fakhar is on a tier, Pakistan are generally, you'd expect them to do really well and perhaps even win the game. He's that match winner sort of ilk of cricketer. But Fakhar Zaman in the last 2 to 3 years has basically been injured more than he has been fit. And that is a concern. He's not even, you know, young anymore. He's no spring chicken. He's like 35 or 36, and that's his listed age. We all know how these things work. So, although Fakhar, in Fakhar's case, it might be real because this guy was a Navy man. He was a Marine. So maybe his age is accurate.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
So, who would your openers be? Like, you prefer openers? Do you stick with Siam and, I already forgot his name, Saib Zada?
Yeah, so, look, I think that I'm not entirely, you know, opposed to the idea of opening with Farhan and Saim and then having Fakhar at first drop. Then what you can do is you can have Salman Ali Agha as a floater. So if there is a crisis situation, then you send in Cousin Sal. Okay? But if you don't have a crisis situation and you're in the middle overs, you send in Hasan Nawaz. The guy is, or at least up until now in this very brief career, he's proven to be a real asset when it comes to spin bashing. And it's not like that's his only skill. He can bash pace as well, as long as he's not facing the new ball. That's what I've kind of noted about him, right? So I feel like he might be even a more exciting prospect right now for Pakistan in white ball cricket than Saim Ayub, because that's a mold of cricketer, a middle overs spin basher who can also smash pace that Pakistan have not had in quite a while, right? So he could probably, or does probably, hold the key for them. And then, of course, you go down and you have some all-rounders and potentially, who are we looking at? Khushdil Shah, or if they want to play Hussain Talat, or Fahim Ashraf for sure, I think will play. And Mohammad Nawaz.
Okay.
So you've got these guys then. And yeah, the bowling attack is an interesting one. I don't know what really to make of it. I know that Shaheen will be the starting seamer, new ball seamer over here. And I think they've got Salman Mirza in there just because if Shaheen starts to shit the bed, they have, you know, a backup option. He's also left arm quick. Not as quick as... Actually, he might be just as quick as Shaheen at this point. Yeah. And he has a weirdly terrific T20 record. Very small sample size, but the man hasn't put a foot wrong thus far. Have you caught any of Salman Mirza?
Oh, I think maybe like glimpses of him in Bangladesh. That's about it. Yeah. Like, not, I don't think I've ever seen him fully. Yeah, so I was asking, gonna ask you, like, what are your thoughts on potentially, like, a, maybe like a dumb question, Siam at three? Because I feel like every time I've seen him bat, he looks very vulnerable when the against initial fast bowlers. Do you think maybe protecting him for just like a few overs could help him?
The issue is that I feel like Fakhar and Sahibzada are both better players of spin than Siam. See? That's my issue over here. So if I have to bat one of those guys at number three, weirdly enough, Fakhar does make the most sense because Sahibzada has been ballistic in the power play. It would be unfair to take the power player away from him. And then because Fakhar is a better player of spin and can really, like, some days he will demolish spin. You take that chance with him at number three then. I would think that's probably what makes most sense. And then let's
suppose... So I have a question on Fakhar versus spin. Is he a good player of spin when he's starting or when he's set?
I feel like... Actually, I don't know the answer to that, but I've seen him...
Because I think... I haven't checked it since last year, but do you remember when I was telling you that he's got a better record in T20 internationals when his entry point's been in the power play?
Of course. And I expect his entry point to still be in the power play, Varun, right? Because I want Sahibzada and Siam to throw the kitchen sink at it. Otherwise, what is the point of any of this?
What's the point of batting depth if you're not going to use the batting
depth? So... Yeah. I feel like those guys have to attack, and even if like they fail, that's fine. You take that chance, and then you get Fakhar and all three of those guys. The directive or memo to them should be very straightforward. You maximize the power play. You just go for it over there, and we've got guys to cover. Because Salman Ali Agha, I feel like, unfortunately, his only utility to me seems that if Pakistan are in a pickle, he can come and dig them out of that hole. I would not send Salman Ali Agha out to bat ahead of Hasan Nawaz on a good day.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Though I think if you want your team to bat in an aggressive way, I do think it's very important that the captain has to lead front there, because the thing with aggressive cricket is you will look like a grade A moron at times when you get out, right? That's just the plain risk of it, right? How many times have we seen Rohit look dumb playing his eye in certain ways?
Yeah.
We used to see Owen Morgan with the England team, Ben Stokes under Baswell. You have to be willing to look like an idiot yourself as a captain to persuade your team to do that. So my worry is that if they're only going to use him as crisis situation, how is he going to inspire his team to play in an attacking way?
I have travelled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things: the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
That is a really, really solid question. $1 million question, in fact. So I think that Salman Ali Agha, the reason he is T20I captain is because, you know, they just didn't want to give the captaincy to one of the regular superstars. And weirdly enough, like, when you look at his record, I know Salman Ali Agha has been better in T20s this year, and he's shown intent at times, and a few very, very poor knocks have brought his numbers down. But otherwise, I was kind of impressed. I was like, okay, you are proving something to me in this format as well. He wasn't a sure shot starter when he got this captaincy job. And even now, if you make a case that, hey, maybe we can have Hussain Talat in this team somewhere, Salman Ali Agha would be the guy that he would replace. Right? Like, so that's the issue. And that's why I feel like you do make a fair point. Although I will say this, that if he's a smart captain, he will just sacrifice his batting position for the more high intent players and players who can maximize a phase. And then they'll always, or Pakistan will always have just enough more batting towards the end. Because let's suppose Pakistan get to 55 for one in the power play, all right? And then they lose one of whoever of the top three is batting, right? I feel in that scenario, there's no reason to send Salman Ali Agha. Then you send Hasan Nawaz, and if Hasan Nawaz doesn't work, then Salman Ali Agha comes. But if he does work, then you continue to push his batting order further down.
Yeah, I think that's probably how you should be using it, right? You have entry points in plan for everyone.
And then you've got Mohammad Nawaz in there, who I know is not really like batting really, really well these days. But then again, he is a left-handed batting option, right? So you could use him as an Akshar Patel, in theory. And you can count on Nawaz starting, right? Mohammad Nawaz will start every game in this Asia Cup. And Pakistan will not play both of Abrar and Sufyan. It won't happen. I want it to happen.
I don't think we were talking about this, right? I don't see how it works out for them.
So let's make a starting 11, right? Let's say we have all three of those guys up top. And then you can move Salman. Yeah, he's fine at 4 for now. Floater 4. And Hassan Nawaz at 5. Yes.
Okay.
Let's keep Mohammad Harris at 6, because if you don't use him in the power play, then he can be a depth over specialist. He can come out and hit big over there. And I feel like he could do a job over there. It's not the end of the world. And if you don't go with the three opening batters in the first three positions, then Harris is an automatic number 3, I feel. Because, I think that would be fine. Like, good utility of him. Now you've got Nawaz at 7, right? And they will for sure play Fahim Ashraf or Khushdil Shah. So one of those guys will come in at 8. For all we know...
Khushdil at 8?
Yeah, for all we know, Khushdil and Fahim will be at 8 and 9. I'm telling you, this is very, very possible with the way Hessen is playing or kind of assembling this team.
I'm going to put Khushdil at 7 for my sanity. Let's say Khushdil at 7, Nawaz at 8, and you're saying they play Fahim Ashraf at 9.
They could, although I don't think they should, but they could. But for our sanity's sake, right, let's just chuck Khushdil Shah out for a second and have Fahim Ashraf at 7.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do what we would do. All right. And now you have three frontline bowling options in Shaheen Shafridi.
I'll get Shaheen in. Yeah. Okay.
Haris Rauf perhaps will start, I would assume.
Right.
And then you have one of Abrar and Sufyan. And whilst Abrar might be the better spinner currently, I feel like Sufi Mac has a way higher ceiling than him. Being a left-arm wrist spinner, can turn the ball in both directions. He's been fairly accurate. One thing I noticed...
Do Pakistan have a spinner who can turn the ball the other way? Or is it just Sahil?
So, Saim Ayub has a carom ball. Right?
But that still wouldn't be turning it the other way.
No. So he has his conventional off spinner as well. And Saim Ayub, I feel, he's a better part-timer than Cousin Sal. I feel that that's the case.
But hasn't Siam basically like almost like bootleg succulent himself in a way?
Whereas
carom ball has become his primary weapon.
It has.
His off spin is basically gone, right?
His off spin is shit. Yeah. And his carom ball is the one that is a bit of a threat. And then, you know, you've got... you're right. Maybe they don't have any other options. So Sufi Mac makes perfect sense. But this won't happen.
He
won't start. Abrar will start. I'm quite positive about that. I would go the aggressive option. I would chuck Nawaz out.
You would chuck Nawaz out?
Yeah. I would play both of Abrar and Sufyan. And then Shaheen can be my number 8, which is not the end of the world, right? Like, he can smash a few sixes. It's okay. I'm willing to... Like, if Hessen is saying that we need the extra batting to cover up for runs, my counter-argument is that you will be gambling with 4 overs instead of 8 overs. And that's just like... You're reducing the runs and taking more wickets that way.
I think the question they should be asking themselves is, what's the best way they can win? Is it out-batting teams or is it strike bowling? Like, why I can see where Hessen is coming from is I don't think they have enough strike bowling to warrant playing all strike bowlers.
I mean, that's not like...
If this was Shaheen at his peak or a Harris at his peak, and then you would without hesitation play Sufiana and Abrar together, right? I think where they're worried about is I don't think they're confident in either of them. So you're gambling a lot in the batting in that case.
Another thing you could do is you could take Fahim Ashraf out, and then you could bring Nawaz back in, right?
Better put Nawaz,
Yeah, and then, you know, Wasim Jr., he can hit a 6. He's not an all-rounder, right? But he can hit a 6.
I assume he's the backup for Harris.
He's the backup for Harris, and Hassan is just there for no reason because Salman Mirza is Shaheen's backup. That's why I wanted Abbas. Okay, If I had Abbas's option ahead of Hassan Ali, I would have Abbas in the starting 11 somewhere because he provides both batting and bowling depth.
So let's say instead of Harris, you play Abbas, is what you're saying.
Yeah. That could have worked, right? In theory. In theory,
I completely agree with you. In theory, that could have worked.
That way, you can play both frontline spinners. Now you cannot. And we know for a fact that one of Khushdil or Fahim Ashraf will be playing ahead of one of those frontline spinners because Nawaz is going to be a 4-over bowler, which is something that, again, does not make me very comfortable.
What was the last... Do you remember the last combination they went for?
Yeah, so they were playing those three guys up top. That's why I mentioned this in the first place, right? Otherwise, the flip side to that argument is Mohammad Harris at 3 and then you play both of Khushdil and Fahim Ashraf, right? But then again, I feel like if you want to play more batters, might as well play the better ones. So you play all three of those guys.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
And then after those guys, they had both Salman as a floater and Hassan Nawaz. And then, Harris, they weren't really batting at all. They would promote Nawaz at times and they would have Fahim Ashraf as well. Fahim Ashraf has been playing everything, like every single T20 for Pakistan. So I'm quite
confident on them.
Okay, so here's another thing that they could do, right?
Right.
if they choose to play Fahim Ashraf, right, and you give him one over with the new ball, then all you need to do is three Shaheen overs, and two overs could be Nawaz in the power play.
Who's bowling the death overs, sorry?
Or Syme. Syme could bowl in the power play. The death overs would have to be, I would hope they think of Haris Rauf as a three-over death overs bowler.
Okay.
Yeah, three out of five.
Okay, so where do you want Fahim in this lineup?
Fahim would have to come ahead of one of those spinners because they're going to play Nawaz.
Okay, I'll say that's how he's ahead of Sufyan at this point.
I would take Nawaz out for one of the frontline spinners and have Fahim at seven. They're not going to do that. So there's no point doing that on your little thing over here either.
Yeah, to be fair, I think that's a bit too risky.
Hmm?
For this team, I think Nawaz at seven is about as bad as I think I'd go.
Hmm.
In this combinations.
Yeah. And then you've got Shaheen, whose backup is Salman Mirza and Hassan Ali. The problem with Hassan is he doesn't really have a dedicated phase, does he? That's his issue.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was he doing in 2017? Was he the middle overs bowler?
He was never a great T20 bowler. Like, he had a couple of good PSL seasons, but he was Pakistan's ODI's middle overs guy, right? That was Hassan Ali.
Yeah.
That's how Pakistan won the Champions Trophy. By Hassan Ali taking wickets in the middle overs. I personally think he didn't warrant a spot. I'm not trying to throw shade at him. I think that he has done well. And he's come here in this team on merit. It's not like his T20 numbers in the last couple of years have been dodgy. But I just don't see the role. I don't see how he gets into the first team. Because you need a new ball bowler and a death overs bowler. Who I'm assuming will be Shaheen and Rauf. And if both of those guys are playing poorly, I would rather give or take a punt on Salman Mirza. And have Waseem Jr. as the Haris Rauf replacement.
Yeah, I think that's it. So if you had to pick a 15-man squad out of this, because they have to do this at some point, which two of them are you binning?
I think Talat goes out, Hassan Ali goes out, and I might somehow make room for Abbas Afridi. Maybe I'd get rid of Fushtil.
If you... yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Could work.
That's probably what
But
I
then you'd have no backup batter.
Yes, but then again, you are playing like eight batters, right? So... Do you need one?
No, I mean, if someone's injured, then you probably don't have a backup.
Yeah, I'd
have at least one backup batter.
You are making a very fair claim.
So I think if in the 15, let's say Hussain and Hassan go out, I think the only way Abbas could come in is for Mohammad Waseem.
Yes. And also bear in mind, if Fakhar gets injured, then you're looking at one of Babar Azam or Abdullah Shafiq coming into the team.
What's an arc that would be?
Would be an insane arc. But I don't think Pakistan are really spoiled for choice in that regard, because Fakhar is a unique asset and there is every likelihood of him getting injured again, because that's kind of been the story, right, for the past 2-3 years. It's a tricky one, and like Pakistan, I feel like they've covered some positive ground, but they're still a long way away from establishing themselves as a competitive T20 outfit. Although I'd take this team over whatever team played in that T20 World Cup any day of the week.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. So do you think they have it in them to win it?
No, but I think that if they have a good tournament, they could make the final. It's just that Pakistan, I feel like they are in that rung of competition where their games versus Sri Lanka, Bangladesh and Afghanistan will be quite tight. Mm-hmm. If anything, I feel like Afghanistan might be a better outfit than them, right? So
yeah, I think they have insane spin attack.
Yeah, it won't be easy. A lot of this would be conditions dependent, because hey, if you bat second and there is due, then all of those spinners... You know, you can maximize versus them. So it might be one of those situations where, like the 2021 T20 World Cup, it could be a spin-dependent Asia Cup. But I don't think that Pakistan are out-and-out finalists at all. Although if they do well, they could be that team. It's going to be an interesting test for them. I feel like this Asia Cup will answer way more questions for Pakistan than, say, India.
No, so my hot take is that I feel like I have a weird feeling about this. I don't think India will win. Not because I don't think they're good. But I think they'll lose just because I feel like the cricket gods just want me to spend the next 6 months defending all the high intent people when all the fans would want all the anchors to come back in. I'm telling you, bro, I'm 100% sure there will be a phase where India will go too high intent.
Hmm.
They'll flop a couple of times and Indian fans will turn on them. They like always do. It will happen, I feel like, at some point. I'm waiting for that.
So Pakistan is currently experiencing something like this where they are being more impactful or high intent than before, way more high intent than before. And they have struggled, especially on slow surfaces. If the UAE surfaces are slow again, then this is not going to be a good tournament for Pakistan. That's what the evidence suggests. But then again, I could make an argument that they've had so much practice on slow surfaces that maybe they're better, right? So we don't.
So I think the issue they have is that none of the high-end guys have any red ball skills to play tough pitches, and all of the guys who can do that can't hit the ball on a flat pitch at all. So it's they're stuck in this weird limbo, right? Yeah. Because I think Salaga is the kind of person you would want on a tough pitch. He just like even if he isn't great on flat pitches, he just can't be a liability.
Yeah.
And to be fair to him, I think he's done everything he can in his skill set, right?
Yeah.
To do that, like
I think
that's fine for him.
He,
right?
He has overachieved. So this lineup that we have, this starting 11, is this your starting 11 then?
Not the back. I can't remember what we even had.
We had Saeb Zadar Farhan, Saeem Ayoob, Fakhar Zaman, Sal Agha, Hassan Nawaz. Who else do we have? Mohammad Aris at 6, Nawaz at 7, Fahim Ashraf at 8. Then you've got Shaheen Shafi at 9.
I probably play, I replace Fahim and play Sufyan. And I have Shaheen at 8. Aris at 9.
Yeah, I think
I think I'd back that. If it's going to spin, I think 2 seamers is probably enough for them. I don't think you need 3 just because you want 3.
I just would want a bit more insurance with the bat, which is why I would have Fahim ahead of Nawaz in this. Because I feel like Saeem Ayoob and Salman Ali Agha, how much worse are they from Mohammad Nawaz?
I think that's fair. I don't even know who's the better batter out of Nawaz and Fahim. Is Fahim a better batter?
Definitely Fahim is the better batter. At least in this phase of their careers. So I think that kind of checks out for me. And then Shaheen at 8 is fine. I would love to see both of those two guys, Sufi Mack and Abrar Ahmed, operate in tandem in the same starting 11, which it's so baffling and upsetting that we haven't seen that yet. Like, they've gotten so many opportunities to try it.
Would it not be the most Pakistan thing to not try them at all and then suddenly do it in a World Cup game on a Tuesday?
Yeah, it would be the most Pakistan thing ever. It would be in Hambantota in Sri Lanka versus a weaker team, probably Italy. It could totally happen. But then again, you know, guys like Hussain Talat, I don't know why you even have him in the team. Because is he just backup for someone like Hassan Nawaz or Salman Ali Agha? Is that what your thought process is?
What does he even do? I think I was looking at his cricket profile. He's like right arm medium.
Yeah, but he's left a left-hand batter who is good versus spin. Yeah.
Okay.
And he can bowl like some really terrible right arm medium pace.
But okay, so Shivam Dubey is bowling basically. Or is it about worse than Dubey?
No, it's probably Shivam Dubey or maybe slightly worse, but it's like dibbly dobbly, right?
So are you saying Hussain Talat is Pakistan's Shivam Dubey?
No. Shivam Dubey can smash spin like very few people that I've seen in my life.
Can Shivam Dubey smash spin anymore?
Like, I don't
know. He wasn't in the IPL.
Anymore is a different question, but I have seen Shivam Dubey do things that I've never seen Hussain Talat do. That's probably a better way to put it. But I feel like, it's probably a similar sort of mold of player, I suppose. But then what exactly is Khushdil Shah? Right? Like,
what does Khushdil Shah do? Is he a left-arm finger spinner?
No, but he's not. He's just a hitter and he's a terrible rotator of strike and sometimes he really struggles versus spin. So I just don't know. I really am unsure of what his role is in this because he's not getting into my first team. I know he's done well in recent times, but perhaps Pakistan, like, look, the other options don't bowl. You could have Irfan Niazi, right? Who has shown glimpses, but he hasn't really cemented his spot either. And then there's this guy, Abdul Samad, and it might be too soon for him. So I think they're just trusting Khushdil because he's experienced. Anyway, I think that pretty much settles it. That's the 11 that we've made up. And the other thing you could do over here is you could probably, you know, bring in, I don't want to say it, but you could bring in Mohammad Nawaz in for one of the frontline spinners that we have, which they'll probably do. And then they could also not play all 3 openers. And they could have Haris at 3 and then also bring in Khushdil. Those are the different permutations that Pakistan could go for.
One of Fakhar, Saiyam and Saeb Zadar will go in that case?
The one who is performing not so well. Right.
So Fakhar goes, I think.
I suppose.
I don't know.
Fakhar is the guy who can really wreck you, right, on his day. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That's why Hassan wants to play all 3 because he's like, these 3 are really good high-intent batters and they can all, you know, play a part. Anyway, you guys let us know what your starting 11s for Pakistan would look like in the comment section below and how you feel about the squad in general. I have mixed feelings. I think it's an exciting squad. I also would say that people, at least Pakistan fans, shouldn't look at this squad and think like, oh, they're going to achieve something over here because it's a team in transition and they are trying something new. So these things aren't like, you know, you don't get results overnight. It's a process and you will, if you will see results, you will see them over a period of time. So here's to hoping that Pakistan sticks with the same ethos till the T20 World Cup at the very least. And then hopefully they can be like one of those teams to beat or dark horses in the T20 World Cup, right? Who's to say? All right, so that wraps up this episode of Good Areas Live. Just a quick reminder, you guys can go to goodareas.co and you can bookmark that webpage. That can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the fun work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. And, of course, if you want to enjoy ad-free content and talk to all of us exclusively and give us like podcast recommendations, you can become one of our supporters on Patreon, because our supporters on Patreon are the ones who power our podcast said Good Areas. And to do that, you have to go to Patreon.com/Good Areas Podcast. And yes, then we can go ahead and chat with you. It's a very inclusive community. It's a lot of fun. And you'll see Varun making cameos, myself making cameos, and Jared's over there a lot, actually. So yeah, that kind of wraps this up. We guys, or all of us, will see you soon enough on some other podcast. And have a good one, folks. And see you soon. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.